From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series on the subject of prayer. As the Lord Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He gave them the timeless words of the Lord's Prayer. Currently, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the first petition in the prayer, Hallowed be Thy Name. This is the first and foremost element of prayer, the desire for God to glorify His own holy name. The implications of this petition are many and far-reaching. Certainly, if we would hallow God's holy name, we must worship Him with holy reverence and have no fear to honor Him before all men. Dr. Cairns will come to the message in a few minutes. First, he takes time to remind us that God is not to be ignored or trifled with, for as a thrice holy God, He must and will judge sin.
What would you say is most essential to have true knowledge and wisdom? Education? A good environment? Good opportunities? I have no doubt these things are very, very important. But the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, there's not much talk nowadays about the fear of God. The fear of God is a theme in Scripture that gets a lot of prominence. The Bible tells us that God is greatly to be feared. He's to be had in reverence. God is not some glorified Santa Claus. He's not some senile old man stroking his white beard, sitting up there remotely in the heavens. God is our Creator. God is our upholder. God is the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. God hates sin. God is angry with the wicked every day. God is the God of absolute justice. God is the God of eternity. And God is the one who will bring sinners down to destruction for their sin. He is to be feared. He is all-powerful. There is none can deliver out of His hand. There is none can escape from His grasp. There is none can get from the sphere of His knowledge. He sees all we do. He understands every motive of the heart. Every secret of our soul is open and bare to Him. There is nothing hid from the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God is greatly to be feared. There is this aspect then in the fear of God, that the greatness of God should strike poor, little, wretched, miserable, wicked sinners with such a feeling of His wonderful greatness and their own rottenness that they tremble at the thought of meeting Him in their sin. But in Scripture, the fear of God is almost a synonym for the true worship of God. When God is greatly to be feared, it's not just that He's to be trembled before, that you're in abject terror. Now, if you're going to go on as a sinner rebelling against God, you've every reason to feel terror. But the fear of God is not merely speaking of sinners trembling in terror. It is speaking of sinners recognizing what God says about Himself, how He has revealed Himself in Scripture, bowing before Him, acknowledging Him as their God and their Savior, coming humbly and reverently before Him to bow before Him, bow the knee, confess Him as their God and their Savior, and take Him at His word. The fear of God is very, very closely related to the scriptural worship of God. Now bring these things together. If you are out of Christ, you'll find it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a terrible and tragic thing for a sinner to meet God unprepared, still in his sin. I could not begin to describe the horrors of a lost eternity, the reality of the lake of fire, what it is to be damned forever. If you're unsaved and you're still rebelling, you've every cause to tremble. But oh, let me tell you that God is to be worshipped. The Bible sets before you the way whereby you can come near to God. Jesus Christ has come into the world to bring you near to Him, near to God, bring you and reconcile you to God, destroy the enmity between you and God, remove from you the curse and the wrath of God, and bring you into the enjoyment of all the love and the mercy and the kindness of God for time and for eternity. The fear of God. Will you tremble? And will you be in terror for all eternity? Or will you worship, bow before Him, receive Him, know Him as your God, your Redeemer in Christ?
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We'd like to encourage you to take advantage of some of the free literature we offer on the program. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The theme of the current issue is the subject of temptation. In 5 articles, various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church discuss such issues as how to recognize the temptation to sin, the temptation of Christ, and overcoming temptation. Among other articles of interest in this issue, you'll find a focus on the land of Macedonia, as well as the inspiring testimony of a young man born with cerebral palsy who is a glowing witness for Christ. A copy is available simply for the asking, and we promise that there will be no follow-up letters soliciting funds. For your free copy, just write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you soon.
The psalmist wrote in Psalm 115, praying from the depths of his heart, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Unto thy name give glory." Now it's very, very easy to say that. But I have to confess to you, this is probably the most deep-rooted sin in the life of every Christian. This is probably the greatest single obstacle to Christian usefulness and to the usefulness of Christian churches. We think we're being so spiritual. We go out to witness to sinners. We pray for sinners. We give tracts out to sinners. We do this, we do that, we do many things. And those are all wonderful things. I'm not for one moment questioning that they ought to be done. God help us to do them more and more. But we do this so often, either out of mere duty, either or out of a sense of relieving guilt,
or because we have some connection with the people, or because this is the work in which we're engaged and we want our work to flourish and our work to prosper. And in a way, we could have to say, we wouldn't be human if we didn't want the work in which God had placed us to prosper. But there must be something way above this. There must be something so superior to this that it envelops everything else. And it is, Lord, I want this for the glory of the name of my God. That's what I want, first and foremost. Going through my psalm for this morning, the 101st Psalm, I must say I was somewhat convicted right at the very beginning, because the psalmist said, I will sing unto the Lord. Just like that, the thought hit me. Why do we sing? Why do we sing? Why do we like particular hymns and use particular hymns and particular tunes? There may be a variety of reasons and answers to that. And I thought, this is a man I very rarely quote, and I am certainly not endorsing all that he ever said or thought. Though, mind you, he's become almost an icon, even in Reformed religion. That's C.S. Lewis. But I thought of an article that Lewis wrote many, many, many years ago. And it was on the subject of music. It's a very interesting article. Very insightful article. They said, ultimately, you know, our music, our singing, must have two great reasons. Number one, must magnify the Lord. And secondly, must edify the soul. When you stop to think of that, you think of, and I'm a great lover of good gospel music, good gospel singing, good church hymns, and people singing with all their heart. But I have to keep reminding myself that it is very, very possible for us to stir up a surface fleshly emotion and get no further. 5 minutes after you've sung it, or 10 minutes, or an hour, all its benefit has disappeared. It is really not edifying to the soul. And we have concentrated so much upon ourselves that we have lost sight of the glory of God. Men and women, when we sing not to each other but to the Lord. When we are worshiping directly our God and our Redeemer. There must be this consuming passion in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, glorify thy name. Thirdly, when we pray this prayer, hallowed be thy name, we are praying, cause us to worship thee with holy reverence, with holy fear. You see, as the psalmist says in Psalm 111, verse 9, holy and reverend, or holy and to be feared, is his name. We were reading this morning that incomparable passage in Isaiah chapter 6, where one seraph cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. This is the idea. When they saw the holiness of God, when His name was sanctified, the very angels of glory worshipped with fear. And when Isaiah caught the same vision, he cried out, "Woe is me!" He was struck with a godly fear. In fact, in chapter 8 of this same prophecy, verse 13, the instruction is plain, and sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread. There's one thing missing today in 20th century Christianity. It is the fear of God. Far too many of us have bought into the charismatic nonsense that destroys the fear of God. Where God is addressed in unseemly terms, where our puny little brains flip from one trivial subject to another, even in prayer, even in preaching, and there is little concentration upon the greatness of God. And I tell you, this lack is cursing evangelicalism. It is cursing even the Reformed faith. There is, I'm not saying it's an avalanche, but there is a significant departure in these days from Protestant churches and from Reformed churches back to liturgical churches, to the Church of Rome, which is totally inexcusable for any reason, and to the Greek Orthodox Church, which is equally inexcusable for any reason. But why is there this drift? When I have read the testimonies of those who have gone back into those benighted systems, where there is no clear understanding of the gospel of justifying grace and the finished work of Jesus Christ, what I'm hearing is this, that in modern evangelicalism, everything has become so man-centered. God is just the appendage of man. God is simply the sentimental object of man's emotion. Or God is simply the source of man's blessing. And people have said, we have gone back into these things in order to recover the idea of the holy greatness and majesty of God. A God before whom we bow in holy reverence and fear. And while I totally, entirely, and unreservedly condemn the departure into such movements, I equally, totally, entirely, and unreservedly commend the desire for an entire religious environment that is centered around the transcendent greatness and glory of God, that humbles the pride of man in the dust and leaves us with a reverential awe. The idea that family closeness, adoption into the family of God, cannot coexist with godly fear is far from biblical. Isaiah was God's chosen instrument for a great work, and yet he feared before the Lord. Moses was a man closer to God than any other. In fact, of all the Old Testament prophets, Moses stands uniquely. God says, I'll speak to all the rest through dreams and visions, There will be ways in which I will inspire them, but with Moses I will speak face to face. The only prophet who had that said of him, I'll speak to him face to face. And yet Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos saw the vision of the risen Christ. Enough to thrill the heart, you would say. Enough to set you dancing. That's what the charismatic would say. Man, this would set you dancing. No, sir. He fell to the ground as one dead. Struck with holy awe. Struck with godly fear. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, we're praying, Lord, cause us to worship thee with holy reverence.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.